Our first reading is from Psalm 119, verses 105 through 112. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it, to observe your righteous ordinances. Am I not doing the right one? It's not the same. Okay, so sorry. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your ordinances. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your decrees are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end.
Our second reading is from the Gospel according to Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. And just then, a religion scholar stood up with a question to test Jesus. Teacher, what do I need to do to get eternal life? He answered, what's written in God's law? How do you interpret it? He said, that you love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and muscle and intelligence, and that you love your neighbor as well as you do yourself. Good answer, said Jesus. Do it and you'll live. Looking for a loophole, he asked, and just how would you define neighbor? So Jesus answered by telling a story. There was once a man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, and on the way he was attacked by robbers. They took his clothes, beat him up, and went off, leaving him half dead. Luckily, a priest was on his way down the same road, but when he saw him, he angled across to the other side. Then a Levite, a religious man, showed up. He also avoided the injured man. A Samaritan traveling the road came on him, and when he saw the man's condition, his heart went out to him. He gave him first aid, disinfecting and bandaging his wounds. And then he lifted him onto his donkey, led him to an inn and made him comfortable. And in the morning, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take good care of him. And if it costs any more, put it on my bill. I'll pay you on my way back. What do you think? Which of the three became a neighbor to the man attacked by robbers? The one who treated him kindly, the religion scholar responded. And Jesus said, go and do the same. Here ends the reading. May God help us to really understand and apply God's will to our lives. I know that thinking of the older generation, and that's confusing to me because I grew up and there was always an older generation. And now there's no more elder generation. But for us then, and you know who am I talking about, we learned many precious lessons from Charles Schulz's Peanuts comic strips. Before using this illustration, I looked it up, and that was first published in 1951. How old were we then? We were still young enough to appreciate a good comic strip. We still do, many of us. But this Peanuts comic strip, Lucy asked, Schroeder, do you know what love is? Then Schroeder said, precisely. Love is a noun, to be fond of, a strong affection for, or an attachment or devotion to a person of persons. And then he sat down and resumed playing his piano. And Lucy just sat there stunned, and then she murmured sarcastically, "Well, on paper, that sounds great." That's where it stops. At another time, Lucy saw Snoopy shivering out in a snowstorm beside an empty food dish. And he was looking longingly, expectantly towards the house. So Lucy came out and said, "Go in peace, be warmed and filled." And then she turned and went back into the house and slammed the door. So in the last frame, you see a confused Snoopy looking toward the house, shivering, still hungry, and utterly baffled. Now, many of us will tell you that if ever there was a story in the Bible that needs a little explanation, then it is the one that we read this morning. And for those of you who were here the previous 2 weeks, this is the third of our trilogy about love. And it's a story that we all know, we all grew up with it. But are we sure that we truly understand the significance of the story? Now, I've never heard anyone disagreeing with the conclusion of the story. Why? Because we're good Christian people. Our hearts are open for those in need, are they not? When the tsunami strikes, when natural disasters occur, when war and famine devastates the lives of many, well, then we jump into action, we're at our most efficient, we have door collections, we have special efforts. Oh yeah, we do a lot of things. Our hearts open wide, our pocketbooks as wide as we can afford, and we refuse to take a backseat to anyone. But friends, that's maybe where we go wrong. You see, we cannot tell the story of the Good Samaritan as an illustration of how righteous, kind, and generous we are. It's actually a very different story. This story really deals with a religious scholar who at that time represented the Sanhedrin. And if you look it up, you'll see that the Sanhedrin in those days was the supreme judicial and ecclesiastical council of ancient Jerusalem. So this religious scholar was sent to test and possibly to set a trap for Jesus. He was out to lure Jesus into a minefield of a discussion to see if he could get Jesus, that was his charge, to say something that would break the strict laws that governed the lives of the faithful Jewish believers. If he could demonstrate that Jesus was a heretic and not follow the law, every letter, every iota, every title, then immediately they could jump on Jesus. They didn't like him anyway. And to get rid of his fledgling ministry at that time. And they were testing him. There may be a loophole that he was going to seek. And boy, in those days you had to be careful. Because the adherence to the law meant life or death for many, many people in those days. So the simple question was, okay, well, as Snoopy demonstrated, who then is my neighbor? That was a key question. Now, you think about it, there were really three philosophies of life at play in Jesus' story. Now, the robber had a philosophy of his own. His philosophy was simply, what you have is mine, and I'm going to take it, whether you like it or not. The priest and the Levite had the philosophy that was, what is mine is mine, it stays mine, and I'm going to keep it. And the Samaritan's philosophy was, what is mine also belongs to you, so I'm going to share it. Martin Luther King said, the first question of the priest and the Levite was, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? If I stop and help this guy, what's going to happen to me? But the good Samaritan had a different frame of mind. He reversed the question. His question was, if I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him? So Jesus lifted up the Samaritan's philosophy and he said to the scholar, go and do likewise. If you think clearly, this was almost an attack on the Sanhedrin, because they judged by law, not by love. In those days, you better toe the line or you're in big trouble. So, further, let Charles Schulz illustrate for us. Another cartoon might be helpful to understand better. This is Garfield, seated in a comfortable chair, seeing his friend Odie at the window, peering in eagerly. And Garfield says to himself, poor Odie, locked outside in the cold. I just cannot bear to see him like this. I got to do something about it. And at that point, Garfield gets up from his chair and closed the curtains shut. True story of Louis Pasteur was that he was more frightened of dogs than most people are. Even a distant bark would terrify Louis Pasteur. You see what happened while he was a child? A wild wolf with rabies raged through his boyhood village, bringing agony and death to many of his neighbors. And Louis Pasteur later wrote, I've always been haunted and never forgot the cries of those victims. A man dead scared of dogs. Yet in 1882, past the age of 60, Pasteur conducted an intense search for a cure for rabies. And for 3 long years, in spite of his deep-seated fears, he risked his life working with mad dogs. True story. At last he came through with a vaccine that could cure a victim of rabies. And on a July night in the year 1886, he tried the first injection on a little boy whose life seemed doomed. The boy lived. So the remembered agony of his neighbors spurred Louis Pasteur to find a cure for this dread disease. And to this day, we thank God for that cure that was found. So Louis Pasteur sought a cure. Garfield closed his curtains. That's it. The simplest formula for the good life ever given came from the lips of Jesus himself. Just listen to this. Love God above all else, and love your neighbor as yourself. And the power is ours for the taking. And we can only be as God intended us to be when we begin to identify with the person who is lying bruised and beaten beside the road. And then we also discover that a Samaritan came to us when we needed one the most. For many of us, Christ was that Samaritan, binding up our broken hearts and lives. Oh, in the eternal love revealed in Jesus Christ, we have found a Samaritan. And if we weep in the middle of the night, alone, just a sense of God's presence makes a difference. I've stood by many deathbeds in my life, and I've seen the difference that takes place with people sensing God's presence, with people reaching out in the darkness of the night. The Good Samaritan visited me many times when I was woke, broken and wounded. Lifted me up again. Why have Christians been historically so charitable, so caring? Friends, it's because many of us once were lying beside the road, broken and bleeding. And we have the memory of nail-scarred hands reaching down to us, ministering to our deepest needs. So, by reflecting the love that God has for us, that's where charity and love and understanding and neighborship is born. The way love functions in the world is fully dependent on how you and I interpret the question, who then is your neighbor? And I want to ask the question for yourself to answer in the words of Jesus, because Jesus asked, what do you think? Which one of the three became a neighbor to the man attacked by robbers? Just listen to the power of the words. In that, the Levite and the priest were doomed. With all their philosophy, with all their religious knowledge, with everything that they learned throughout their lives, in that moment they failed. And their life proved to be worth zero. And the scholar on this question of Jesus had no option. So he said, well, the one who treated him kindly. Jesus turned around and said, well, go and do the same. No law broken. No reason to arrest Jesus. But a foundation stone laid for the ages, still governing our thinking and our doing. Jesus' conclusion is, your neighbor is the person who needs you, irrespective of race, color, orientation, or creed. And I believe with all my heart that the greatest decision facing the Church of Jesus Christ in these changing times, where a modern world is turning its back on the Christian faith, not only here, but across the world, the greatest decision that we have to make and understand is the question whether we will function as a law-based community of faith, or as a grace community, a grace-based community of love. The world out there is watching. The world is defining. Now, you guys renewed your church. Beautiful, it's great, there's signs of life all over. but what is defining you? And that is the question that will fill these pews or empty them. That is a question that will make a difference in the lives of people wherever we meet them, under whichever circumstances. Oh, let the world not define us by some self-righteous, carefully articulated, theologically sophisticated, logically defined, so-called articles of faith, pontificating about what we believe. Face people, look them in the eyes and say, I don't know what you think, but this is what I believe. Governed by love, there is never any chest thumping. But in the process, your life and mine will be touched and changed. And this church will grow and grow because the need out there is so great. Let us then be a living, a breathing, a healing, a helping organism known for not the laws that we propagate, but by the acts of love that we show one another. Day after day. I expect to pass through this world but once. Any good thing, therefore, that I can do, or any kindness that I can show to my fellow creatures, let me do it now. Let me not defer or neglect it. For I shall not pass this way again. Amen.